Oh, good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church this morning. If you're visiting this morning, we want to say welcome to our little church. And if you're part of the furniture, welcome again to the first service of 2021. Hallelujah. 2021 has just come upon us so very quickly. Amen. And there's some things that we need to understand in the kingdom of God. And but the key part of it is that we must be people of explicit obedience to the word of God. Amen. That's the message for this morning. It's my title of the message is Explicit Obedience. That means in Pidgin we say, long, long, rarim talk. All you Papua New Guineans know that very well. It's like just crazy to obey the word of God. Long long means crazy. And you just totally sold out for God. Hallelujah. That's the key message and the key thing that I wanted to speak about this morning. But first I want to pray that God will speak and not just you hearing my voice. Father God, I pray and I thank you for your word. Thank you that I'm just like a voice like any other voice. But God, you speak through voices. You speak through our lives because you operate through us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Today I pray that you hide me from your people, that they hear your voice, they hear your word. I pray that they will be people of explicit obedience to the word of God. As we take on 2021, I pray today that your word will reach out to the people today, that it will not come back void, it shall accomplish everything that you have purposed for this word to do. Lord, I thank you that you watch over your word to fulfill it this morning upon our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome those who are watching us on live stream and all our families in PNG, in Victoria, in Australia, worldwide. We welcome you today. I hope you have a wonderful time fellowship and with us. Let the word of God inspire you this morning, but not only inspire, but challenge you. As we are fasting and praying, 21 days of fasting and praying, I want to say this to make this statement today that we must make decisions and commit to it. Amen? Most of the things that we say, we must commit to it. Habits of the past must be stopped, destroyed in our lives. If it has become a tradition, get rid of it. I've been talking about getting rid of traditions in our life. That's including Santa Claus. Get rid of him. Hallelujah. Santa Claus is not the reason for our season that we celebrate. We must get rid of all the tradition that is destroying our family, our children, and the church. Bring so much of the world into the church, and we've destroyed the power of God in the church. That's from us bringing the things of the world in. Hallelujah. In this church, you will understand that we stand on the word of God and on everything that comes out from what God says, not just finding a little scripture, making a doctrine out of it and following that. Everything in this book is a constitution to our kingdom. It's the kingdom of God that you and I are living in. Hallelujah. The shift, like we said, has already happened. We are now shifted people. We've been shifted, the mindset. So we must not think like the way we used to think. Make decisions that will be so important for you. Why? Because God wants something great for you. God didn't just give you the word so that you can be just like that all your life. He wants you to grow and become something that he has purposed you to be. This is the season where we must walk in explicit obedience. Long, long, arin tok tok. That's Pidgin for you. Crazy to obey God with no second thoughts or double-mindedness, but straight. Whatever God says, we do it, we get up and we do it. Hallelujah. What do I mean by explicit? Explicit means to be very clear and exact. That's the word. That's what explicit means. God speaks very clearly. Nothing that God speaks is vague in his word. Everything is so clear and exact. On the dots, on the points. Amen? That means whatever we hear has to be what? Obeyed without any doubts or double-mindedness. That's the kind of people we want to be. Hallelujah. If you're a person that's been thinking like that for the last past years, today is the day you must make the decision to change. And I mean that with all my heart and all my soul, all my spirit. God is looking for people of obedience, When the Lord showed me this scripture in Isaiah 66, it shifted me to a place where I've never been ever again. I shifted from where I used to be to where I am now. I said to my children, the father that you used to know is not the father that you knew. This is a different father now. When you talk to me, we talk about the principles of the kingdom of God. Nothing else. All my knowledge and all that comes from that just built me up as a man and as a father comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing else. You cannot make me talk about something I read in National Geographic or Women's Magazine or Women's Weekly or Netflix. Everything comes from the word of God. Whether you like it or not, you gotta receive it from the word of God. But children are learning that, and your children should too. Get rid of tradition. Pick everything out that doesn't that represent God or bring truth to your family. Hallelujah. It challenged me. Isaiah 66, verse 1 to 2, it says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones, listening, I look on with favor. This is God speaking. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Hallelujah. Trembling at God's word with reverence and respect. This is talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to you and I as spirit people, people that live in the spirit, breathe in the spirit, talk in the spirit, do things in the spirit, never in the flesh. He's saying, my house is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where is the house that you have built for me? That's a serious question God is asking. I'm introducing a message this morning that is important for the church. Hallelujah. This year is a new year. We must take stock of our lives and ask ourselves serious questions. Every one of us must ask questions. What things we need to do that needed change? Something in our life needs to be changed. There has to be a spiritual surgery to remove some things that have become idols in our life. Hello, somebody. One very important concept that we must always understand is that nothing we do can change God. Hello. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Hallelujah. Why? Because God never changed. He's the same. And whatever we do is for our own benefit. Your worship does not change God. Your worship changes you and transforms you. Hallelujah. Your service to God in the church does not change God. It changes you and transforms you. Hallelujah. Your prayers does not change God. It changes you and transforms your mind. Your fasting does not change God. God never changed just because you changed. He is the same day, yesterday, today, and forever. His word is relevant yesterday, today, and forever. This word will always last forever. That's why God doesn't change. That's why you and I can stand on His word and believe His promises that He gave us. Hallelujah. The more we bring ourselves to walk in obedience, we will start to see the manifestation of His power. Are you hungry to see God's power? Are you serious to see God's transformation power? The reason why we don't see it is because we brought so much of the world in. And it's time to clean up the church. It's time to clean up every little bit of things that we hold on to as idols in our lives. We are living in a world that is constantly changing. And we will start to see things that are changing, and we are at the mercy of those changes. Somebody made laws and the system of this world that you and I are at the mercy of it. Hallelujah. The world does not have power over the circumstances. People who do not know God or have relationship with Jesus do not know or have no power over circumstances. That's why they make decisions out of emotions. You are not a person that's supposed to make decisions out of emotions. You have been given clear instructions by God to obey His word and walk according to His principles. Hallelujah. You have heard me speak a lot about that. I have not changed the message of this church. It is to apply the word of God in our lives to truly see the true kingdom of God manifest on this earth. Hallelujah. The world does not have that. You and I have that. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Why? Because the kingdom promises us power and authority over circumstances. Hallelujah. That is an important thing first to understand. The power to change is in everything that God created. And we are all create. We are the only creatures that can make changes and desire change. God gives you a vision. He doesn't plan for you. You plan for yourself. Plan to achieve the results of what God has given you as a vision. We have the power to change things around us. While our petition and our prayer to God changes things around us, we have to believe that when we do things, we do it in the Spirit. It may look insignificant in the eyes of men, but in the kingdom, hallelujah, something happens in the Spirit. The transformation happens. The power of will has been given to you to make decisions. Somebody say amen to that. That is why our lives right now are not controlled by any G7, G12, whatever meeting that the government get together to have to make laws and control things that you should abide by. Jesus said, no, your job is what? To make sure that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said those words when the disciples asked him how to pray. And it's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Not how to pray. These guys know how to pray. They know how to pray. Their culture is prayer. The Hebrew culture is prayer. They have one God. They know how to connect with God. But these guys asked him, they said, "How do we pray? Teach us how to pray." As John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, "When you pray," listen to Jesus' word, "say, Our Father who art in heaven." He's not in any G7 meeting or any government organization. He's in heaven. Hallelujah. "Hallowed be thy name." That means your name is holy. That's referring to God's character. "And here's what you pray for," he says. "Your kingdom come." That's saying, "God, let everything that is in heaven happen here on earth." We don't succumb to the decisions of the government of this world. Our purpose is to that the will of the God, will of Father is done on this earth. The next statement is powerful. He says, "And your will be done." Your will done. Why? Because we have too many of our wills. And our wills have been contaminated by this world. Hallelujah. That's why God says, you don't pray for your will. You pray for my will to be done on this earth. That's why he says, "Seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all that you desire and want will be added unto you." Hallelujah. The future of the church and the kingdom is in our hands. The Bible says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and then the end will come." Hallelujah. Power of the end of the world is in your hands to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just remind us again. God is not interested in good. He is only interested in things that is right and true. Something looks good, it may be just not right for God. Amen? Go quiet on me. It's important for us to deal with. Amen. That is what the number one, what is the number one will of God? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is being in right standing with Him, respecting and honoring Him, abiding in His word, His principles, continually consecrating ourselves before Him, abiding in Him. Why? Because the pull of the world is so strong. Young people, the pull of the world is like a magnet that will drag you in. You came born not bending towards God, bending away from God. And God had to drag you in, hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God. Therefore, you need to fight your way into salvation. Casual Christian walk doesn't count in the kingdom of God. The devil will have you for breakfast. You need to fight. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to come to church. You need to fellowship. You need to find yourself in a company of like-minded people that will speak things in your life that will build you up. Hallelujah. That is important for us in 2021. There's a scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 28. It says, Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. This cancel culture and all this stuff that's happening right now, that's part and parcel of what the enemy is doing to get rid altogether of the Word of God. You have become an enemy to the United Nations. Do you know that? Hallelujah. They have now made that a mandate, an agenda in their constitution that the Christian person, a person that believes and walks and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, listen to me carefully, is an enemy to the UN. That is a fact of life now. And you and I must now think, not just playing church, we need to understand that the fight is on for the kingdom of God. There is no time more urgent now than this season that you and I are living in to fight for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. To fight and stand for truth. I thank God for my grandfathers and your grandfathers who have brought the word of God to you. These are signs that God is talking about. Do not remove what they have brought to you. Whatever that they brought as the principles of God, don't remove that. Follow those signs. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and what? Look, ask for ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and when. And then it says, and walk in it. Hallelujah. Don't just stand there and ask and look. It says, when you find out, and walk in that path. Hallelujah. And it says, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. This is the rebellion that happens inside the church today. I am not talking about the unsaved. I am talking about the saved. I'm talking about the people who are inside the kingdom of God. I'm bringing you some wonderful principles that we must abide by. Look at the verse. It says, stand at the crossroads. 2021 must be our crossroad. It must be your crossroad. If you're living a lifestyle that doesn't represent God, 2021, he says, stand. That's your crossroad. Make the decision now, today, to follow the signs that are right in God. Hallelujah. A lot of churches are at the crossroad, confused. It has created a confused generation. There's a moral decision and value decisions and character decisions. Everyone's making that decision. But you follow the signs that God has already given you. My friend, if you're at the crossroad this morning, God is speaking to you this morning. Do not leave this building until you have made the decision to bring your life back in alignment with God and walking with God again. Casual Christianity doesn't count in this battle that we are entering into. The Bible says the world, there's a great falling away happening. The great falling away doesn't happen with the world. The world's already been falling away. The great falling away is those who profess to follow Christ will give up and walk away from God. Hallelujah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is. Hallelujah. And walk in it. And you will find what? Rest for your soul. There's a result when it comes to following God. There's a rest for your soul. We're connecting into 2021. It should be a rest in God. Seeing God fight all the battles for us. We've come through 2020, which is a uncharted water we've come through. But by the grace of God and by His goodness and mercy, you and I have been preserved and protected, kept safe. Hallelujah. You're sitting right there breathing because of His goodness and His grace. Hallelujah. Make the stand today. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. When you are at the crossroads, God says, ask for the ancient paths. Don't go forward or backward and connect yourself to things that are not of God. The devil is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's all he's interested in. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions. That's why I keep saying, get rid of tradition. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you've used to doing in your time when your grandfather brought it. If it doesn't bring Christ and brings truth, get rid of it. Because the enemy is going to use it to bring and destroy a whole generation because you keep bringing tradition to your family. Hallelujah. Know why we don't know what the meaning of Christmas anymore? Because somebody destroyed it through Santa Claus. I'm using Santa Claus as an example, but there's other things in your life that needs to be taken care of. There has to be a spiritual surgery to get rid of that stuff. Stop listening to philosophy and get into the scripture. It will protect you from being lured away from the truth. It's easy to fall away. The moment you say you don't need to come to church, the moment you say you don't need to have fellowship, the moment you say you can survive on your own, you're a sitting duck in the kingdom of the devil. He will take you down. I don't care how powerful you are. There is no such thing as a Rambo in the kingdom of God. Everyone fights together. They stand together. Hallelujah. If you're like Rambo, sorry, I'm disappointing you right now. There is no such thing as somebody who can take on the world by himself. That's why God placed you and I together. Your gift and my gift, when it comes together, forms some power inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Stop listening to people. They will draw you away. Paul says, see to it. Everyone say, see to it. Tell your neighbor, see to it. See to it. Paul keeps saying, see to it. Make sure you see to it. Hallelujah. He said, they don't get you lured. Deceptive means it sounds really good, but it's based on traditions and human principles, and the world invented that. That's why the church has no power, my friends. That's why we don't see power in the church. The manifestation of the power of God. I want to see. We talk about revival. Revival happens in us, inside our hearts, in prayer. It doesn't happen anywhere else. You can't find it anywhere else except in you, inside your church. Revival starts there. Hallelujah. When your prayer meeting becomes a church service, you know something is up. Hallelujah. That's something that we must understand. That's a change that we must make. People like to post great sayings and great philosophical sayings and, you know, high-powered sayings. The only saying that I believe in is the Word of God, because it comes with that power. All the great sayings of Buddha and all this stuff. Buddha didn't come back for you. He's dead and gone, rotten inside somewhere there. You can find his grave, but you can't find Jesus Christ's grave. Hallelujah. You can't find his bones anywhere. He is risen and he's seated in the right side of the Father, interceding for you. This is why we sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. You can face tomorrow because he lives. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Hallelujah. We are here to prepare the way for the soon coming King. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us throw away everything that what? Hinders the sin that so easily entangles us. Listening to this word. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's already a race marked out for you, and there's a cloud of witnesses watching you and cheering you on to complete, because they did complete their run. But you and I need to complete ours. And he says, throw away everything that's going to hinder your walk with God. Throw away every sin that's going to entangle you and pull you down and stop you from growing in the things of God. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the teachings of Jesus Christ is not just some nice words. They are commands that must be followed. And if we are to count ourselves as true disciples or worthy of eternal life, then life to the full, then follow his instructions. Not just some nice instructions. These are commandments that we need to follow. These are kingdom keys. And when you're a person that wants the kingdom key, you are the one that holds onto those keys. You are the one that opens and locks doors. Whatever you lock here, heaven locks. Whatever you bind and open up here, heaven opens up. The power of change is in your hands. It is also keys that will unlock the doors in our lives. Your journey in Christ will always have obstacles in the way. Hello, somebody. Who said that life in the kingdom is going to be nice and smooth and happy? If your pastor's been telling you, he's lying to you. Nothing is easy in the kingdom of God. Only those who can stand and abide by the word will prove themselves through the kingdom of God. It is tough to be inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When we're preaching out on the street, we say, only gelly-gellies don't come into the kingdom of God. We preach a message like that, and someone says, I'm not a gelly-gelly, I want to come to the kingdom. Well, come on in. Stop hanging around there and being a gilly-gilly. Come inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am knock. The doors will be open for you when I knock. Open the door. If they aren't identified, if you don't identify and remove those obstacles, you may spend years and years exhausting yourself in a joyless, fruitless, busy, going nowhere walk. And that's what a lot of Christians have right now in this very season. A going nowhere walk. Why? Because they don't apply the Word of God in their lives. It is so simple that we miss it. Many Christians experience this and don't even realize it. We will be dealing with those obstacles this morning. And I'm just going to name some of them. And I'm going to deal with two obstacles that are so rife inside the church right now. Obstacle number one that's in our life. Religious legalism or hyper-grace. Obstacle number two, the fear of giving up what you love. Obstacle number three, I can't find time for God. That's an obstacle. Obstacle number four, living your own strength. Obstacle number five, current sin or past failures. Obstacle number six, unforgiveness towards self or others. Obstacle number seven, poor discernment and understanding. Obstacle number eight, poor understanding of Satan. You got to know your enemy. You're going to fight the battle of the Spirit. Understand your enemy. Understand how he fights and then fight him. Hallelujah. And obstacle number nine, poor or distorted, incomplete view of God. Ignorance. Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Not the devil, lack of knowledge. Ignorance is our greatest enemy. And you need to study the Word of God, commit yourself to this, to destroy all this stuff that is an obstacle in your walk. Many Christians in this country are showing internal resistance against the idea that obedience of Christ commands will radically change your life. When I see on fire guys for God, I said, now that's a radically changed person. But sometimes those who don't want to accept that continue to live in their sin. See, people who don't want real change are still living in sin. Because you cannot come and pretend to be with Christ and still live like that. Christianity or kingdom living is not something for you to fake. You cannot fake this living or this lifestyle. It has to be your lifestyle. What you say is what is in you. And what you are doing is what you say. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, many who grew up in those types of homes have turned to atheism. They grew up in a religious legalism background where external religious appearance doesn't match their own private lifestyle. Hello, somebody. This is important for us to understand. They finally hear the message their ears have been itching to hear, long to hear, that God is all love, all mercy, all grace, and they're all covered under it. Let me tell you something. There's a false message in that. You'll find in Jude chapter 1, verse 4, it tells you to be aware of this kind of messages. Hallelujah. You don't just go to a scripture, get it as a doctrine, and leave on that alone. Everything that God says has a pretext and a context with it. But understand the Word of God. You don't just leave on one scripture and call it your doctrine. Everything that we in this church follow is the principles of the Word of God. Amen, somebody. This is the constitution that comes from your country, which is the kingdom of heaven, which you and I belong to. We are citizens of that kingdom. And God gave us a constitution in this word to follow everything. Not just one part, not just your favorite Matthew or Mark or Luke, not just any of your favorite scripture. Everything we follow. Tiny, bitty, wit, little bit of it, we follow. Hallelujah. This is a false message when everybody thinks that we can just live like that and not check our hearts. There's sin in our lives. That suits the desire to love God without having to fight against all this sin that they're actually living in. Christians are living like that. I used to live like that. Hallelujah. When God showed me His word and shifted me, I said to my friends in my church, I said, I have no luxury whatsoever to live a lifestyle like that anymore. Hallelujah. Our life has to change. Our life has to align with the word of God. The devil wins either way, because neither of these extremes leads to life, to the full now or eternal later. There is a much better path that you and I should follow, and that is the explicit obedience to the word of God. That's the message today, my friends. This is what we should be doing now. When we hear it, take it on. God, you said it. We're going to believe it. And we're going to walk in it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. John 3:16 is possibly the best and the most dangerous verse in the entire Bible. I'll tell you why. Why? Because people read it and believe it is a standalone doctrine of faith. That they can just believe in that. A standalone verse, it causes many to think they can be saved by intellectual belief alone. Apart from actually turning from sin, repenting, and turning to Christ in faith and in obedience. God doesn't want you to just believe. He wants you to repent. Turn away from your old ways. Follow Christ. Hallelujah. Make Him become your Lord and Savior. Not just believing. Even Muslims believe in Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. But truly believe in Him, you also need to believe His teachings and His Lordship. Not just believe in Jesus. Everybody believes in Jesus. A Christian believes in Jesus. But it's the ones who believe His teachings and His Lordship and abide by His word. They're the ones that are true kingdom people. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen to that. Don't be quiet. Exciting stuff. You need to get it. In this church, there is no offense in this church. If you're offended, I always say, check your heart. If you complain about the word, go talk to God. I didn't come from any magazine. That's His word. Telling me to say it, I'm telling you, I'm preaching it. John 3:16, many Christians should even believe that demons could be saved. Oh, so if everybody believes in Christ, even the demons believe in Christ, maybe they'll be saved too. After all, they too believe in Jesus and regularly call Him by name every time they encounter Him. You read the Bible. Jesus, we know you, Jesus, that you, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, shut up. Always quieting them down. Why? Because they believe, but they don't live according to the word. If you're a person, I had something from Mama Evelyn one time. She goes, if you're a person that calls you a Christian and doesn't follow the word of God, then you live like a devil. That is so true. That is so true. I'll tell you what is missing. What is missing with all that? Obedience. Motivated by the love that comes from being forgiven by God. The love that you know that God has forgiven you. And you said, God, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow you. No matter what, you're going to obey every word that comes from you. Obedience breaks everything that comes against us. Whatever the world throws at you, whatever the devil throws at you, your obedience to the word of God breaks and destroys those things that comes against you. A person that obeys every word of God is a dangerous person in the kingdom, because the devil won't touch you. Hallelujah. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he's interested in. As long as he can get you, he wins. That's what's missing. According to the kingdom perspective, there is a big difference between a man and a woman who professes to believe in Jesus, believes in Christ, and gets active in the church, all the Christian activity. You have people that, oh, we believe in Jesus, and they come and serve and do everything in church, but they refuse to follow His teachings. Yes, my friends, they're all in church. This organization that we call Christianity, they're all there. Hallelujah. Tells everybody about his or her belief in Jesus, but feels no need to diligently learn and practice the teachings of Christ, because after all, I'm just a believer. Everybody believes, including the devil. Hallelujah. But it's those who abide by His word. And then you have those, on the other hand, that professes to believe in Christ, but rather than jumping into the world of church activity or professing their faith, you can profess the faith all you like. You don't walk in it. Don't profess it. Instead of doing all that, they quietly set out to what? Apply the teachings of God in their life. Study the Word of God. Attend church. Prayer. Come together and fellowship. Those are the ones that are true followers of Christ. Those are the ones that find out in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 16 and sees he or she needs to, what? Release some people and forgive them. And then he realizes in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and realizes that he needs to stop serving money and serve God. Those are people that understands those things and go, hang on a minute, I've been doing something wrong. Maybe I should make some changes in my life. Well, today, my friends, 2021, it's a time for change. Make the change. I don't know where your life is. I'm not judging you what where your life is. I'm just bringing some word to you that if you are going to come into the kingdom of God and truly see the manifestation of His power in your life, then make the changes. Hallelujah. It takes action immediately and what? Comply with the teachings of Jesus Christ. From heaven's perspective, which one do you think will have eternal life? Don't answer that question. I said it this morning. Think about it. Seller, ponder on this morning. This is obstacle number one. Obstacle number two, and I'll finish. That's my last. There's a lot more obstacles to deal with. Most people become fearful when they see some of Jesus' teachings, such as, any of you who does not give up anything he has cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Or, a man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life, his world will keep it for eternal life. John chapter 12, verse 25. Listen to me. Jesus is asking us to trade up, not to give up. Hallelujah. You cannot lose something that you don't own at the first place. Nothing you have here belongs to you. It belongs to Him. He is the Lord of all things. You and I are just stewards of those things. Nothing you possess will bring true fulfillment in Christ. You lose everything to strangers anyway when you die. You build up all this great business and all these great things and all a great life and build a house and drive a nice car. When you die, that goes to a stranger. The Bible tells me. So all these things are vanity, vanity, vanity. The only way to lasting treasure is through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus always emphasized the extreme cost of becoming his disciples over the benefits. Remember the story of that rich young ruler that came to see him? And he said, oh, I followed every word that you've said in the Bible. Jesus said, yes, there's one more thing. He says, what? Go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Jesus didn't want him to do that. Jesus was dealing with his material hunger or possession. He was dealing with materialism in his mindset. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus makes strong statements to us. He is not interested in spiritual gold diggers in church. Those who come to church to find something in God, and when they find it, you don't see them in church anymore. He's interested in those who come and plant themselves, follow him, and grow and bear fruit inside the kingdom of God. Not the butterfly spirit everywhere you go. What do we call it? Flowerpot Christianity. Butterfly spirit. First of all, we need to understand the real purpose of his coming. The main reason he came was to save us from being condemned to hell and separated from God for all eternity. Not to make us happy and healthy and bless us and all that stuff. Those are the end results of you following him. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the health, all the wealth, all that stuff that you want will be added unto you. That's the end result of following Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus makes it plain and simple. We love the idea of free eternal life, but our flesh or natural man hates the idea of suffering and having to give up its spiritual, what do you call it, candy bars, spiritual things. Our flesh fights against the thought of losing something, a material thing. When you fear losing something, recognize that as your flesh is waging war against your spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." When the Spirit of God is inside of you, you will always find that conviction, that struggle inside of you when you're fighting against something that's of a flesh. Jesus does not ask you to give up anything in the natural without having plans to give you something in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It says in John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, and John chapter 6, verse 35. This is often true in the natural as well. God may close a door for you, and then in His fullness of time, open up another door for you that is beneficial to you. Sometimes God closes doors for us. Do not fight it. Do not complain about it. Wait. Trust Him. He's going to open up a door that is even better than the first door that you were seeking. Hear the word of God this morning. Even if it takes it all, you can't lose something that you never owned or belonged to you at the first. Somebody say amen, Pastor. Hello. Satan loves it when we say, "Mine, mine, 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 mine." Remember the Nemo film? The movie, Nemo? You didn't watch Nemo. But you missed the great principle right there. All the seagulls, when they saw these things, they go, "Mine, mine, 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 mine." The devil loves it when you and I are standing like, "It's all mine, 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 mine." Hallelujah. It's a complete lie to think we own or control everything in this life. That's the devil's lie to you. You don't own any of that. That belongs to God. Hallelujah. As soon as we claim mine against something that God really owns, we have just erected a wall between us and God. It becomes an idol before God. This is obstacle I'm talking about. These are things that we have to deal with. Get released from those things so that you are set free. Hallelujah. We are stewards, and we must understand that God literally, not figuratively, He literally owns every single thing that we've ever had or will ever have. Hallelujah. Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it." Amen. Full stop. God owns all that stuff. Hallelujah. When you know that, your life is set free. You're released from trying to own things that doesn't belong to you. God blesses you according to His purpose. He knows what's best for you. Hallelujah. He is so unbelievably kind that He gives us temporary use of our resources and says, "Now go and use this to invest and build up treasures for yourself in heaven." That's how God operates, when we release everything into His hands and seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. That is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. "Give and it shall be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be" what? "Poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you." These are the words of Christ. Hallelujah. I'd rather stay on this word than believe every other doctrine that they try to tell me. "Oh, we don't believe in this, and we don't believe in that, and we just believe in this." Listen, everything that God says, if Jesus says that, I will abide by it. We want a big church. We want a big building. We want this and this and that. But we fail to obey the little things that God wants us to do. Clean the church. Do little things inside the church. Serve the gift that God has given you in the church. These are the principles, kingdom principles, that when we move into during 21, we are going to start applying those things in our lives. The only way to lasting treasure is through strong faith in God. Hallelujah. Let me close with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know that. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Most Christians know that they need to do and what they need to do and what they know requires faith to do it. But they remain paralyzed by fear and miss God's best blessing in their life. Listen, if you will obey God in the smallest or the most obvious matters that He has brought to your attention, in His timing, you will see His loving kindness and faithfulness. He will come down and fight battles for you. These are only two obstacles in our life. There's more obstacles that we're going to deal with. But these are things that we need to understand and get rid of in our lives. Start to operate in the things of God. Understanding that whatever little thing He says, we need to abide by that. We need to follow it. Not just say it and quote scriptures and walk around. Live scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the end of the message this morning. But I pray that this is not just a message for us to be receiving and saying, oh, that was nice. That was a really great message. No, I want you to apply that into your life. All of us. This message includes me in that message. That's instructions from the Lord for all of us. We all have to abide by that. And then we will start to see true kingdom manifestation of what God is about. Talk about revival. Let's come to prayer. Let's come and join hands together and pray together. Hallelujah. See what God's going to do. I want you to stand. I want you to be honest with God this morning. If there's any obstacles in your life, a shift has happened. You are now supposed to be a shifted person, living according to His principles. If there's things that needs to be dealt with in your life, regardless of how many years you've been in church, how many years you've been Christian, does not matter. Everything has to be revealed to God. We have to be honest with God in things that we are doing. If it doesn't bring truth, if it's an obstacle in your life, blocking you from growing in God, today is the day that it has to be taken out. It has to be removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hands before God. I'm going to pray. And we're all going to believe that whatever that has been an obstacle in our life, whether big or small, it has to come out. It has to go. We have to really, truly submit to His Word and walk in the place of forgiveness, always considering our salvation with fear and trembling every time. That allows us to walk with wisdom every time. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray, and as you see our hands raised before you this morning. Father God, this is the first Sunday of 2021. That's why this word has to be spoken today. That's why this word has to be released today. Father, to prepare us for what is to come as we leave this old season of 2021. Father God, we are privileged people. We are living in a time where we know that you're coming. It's very close. But today I pray, as your people are raising their hands before you, Lord, you search our hearts. Father, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, I pray you search our hearts. Anything that is in there that doesn't belong to you, anything that we've been holding on to as obstacles in our life, that has become an idol in our life, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pull it down and I destroy it, oh God, by the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, your word says in Jeremiah 1:10 that you've given us authority to uproot, to destroy, and to rebuild. Father God, I speak your word and I destroy and pull out anything. I destroy everything, oh God. Everything that is not of you, oh God. Pull out everything and restore, pray restoration, oh God, of the things of the Spirit, oh God. Father, I pray for those who have walked away from you. Today I pray that they will make this decision, Lord God, to come back into the kingdom of God, because that is the only safe place they will find themselves. Father, I pray that those who are taking Christian, the casual Christian walk, will stop doing that today. I pray, Father, that they will be truly people of obedience, oh God, explicit obedience to your word, that whatever you say, we will hear and do, oh God. I pray, Father God, that our spiritual ears are open, oh God. I pray, open it up. Open it up by the power of your Holy Spirit today. Father, I release your anointing that breaks every yoke, oh God. Everything that is holding your people bondage today. In the name of Jesus, today is the day that is released, oh God, right now. We come against the work of the enemy. Devil, we speak to you. You have no rights. You have no authority. You have nothing over your God's people this morning. We come against you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that no weapon that is formed against your people will prosper. We know weapons are being formed all through our lives, but it shall not prosper because it is your promise to us. And every tongue that rises up against us, Lord God, we shall condemn it. It is our heritage, O God, in the kingdom. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus over your people today. I pray, Holy Spirit, today I pray that you speak to each and every one, young men and women. They shall dream dreams and they shall have visions, of God, that you have poured out your spirit upon all flesh today. Thank you, Lord, that there is a change right now, a transformation happening right now in the hearts of your people today. God, I thank you. I pray and I bring your people before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Guide us by your word. Let us be people that are going to be obeying your word in everything that you say and direct us. Holy Ghost, we look at you as our source and portion in everything. You have your way in this church. Whatever you're going to do, Papa God, I pray you start with us in this church. I thank you for your people that have taken your word on board. They've taken it on and they're going to live and abide, oh God, by it. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. God, we worship you, we honor you, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonderful presence, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want to pray this prayer for those who have walked away from God. I do not know your life, but I don't want this service to end with you not giving your heart to Jesus this morning. If you're watching and you have not given your heart to Christ, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me except, no one go to the Father except through me. And nobody can come to me except the Holy Ghost leads you. Today, the Holy Ghost is here. If you've walked away from God, if you've backslidden from God, if your life is not right with God, check your heart. And I want you to remember this, that coming back to Christ is just a simple matter of saying, God, I'm sorry for my walk. Repenting, not just believing in God. Repenting and turning around, because the kingdom of God requires people of a changed mindset to understand living and walking in the kingdom. I want to pray this prayer with you, and I want the church to pray together with me as we lead those who are coming back to Christ. Hallelujah. Say this salvation prayer after me. Lift your hands before God. Close your eyes. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I have turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all my unrighteous life. I turn away from it all now and turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. Jesus, I come to you now. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross, for dying on the cross for me, to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me and fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me, for forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have any other prayers or need any need, anything that you want to be prayed for, just let me know or come and see our team after that and we can pray with you. Otherwise, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord make his lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything restored, made all well and complete. In your body, in your soul, your spirit. In your family, in your relationship, your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your health. Everything that God has bestowed upon you as blessing and his grace. Nothing is missing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.